You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 340. Today is Sunday, July 3rd, and my name is Steve. No Ham tonight, but I'm joined by Curtis. And Kurt, in tonight's show, we'll talk about the new international prospects, Dansby and Osby back together again, some parking issues for the new stadium, and a giveaway during Shot in the Dark. But first, Kurt, the starting rotation. So, lots of changes in the starting rotation this week. Gant goes down, Folty comes back, Bud Norris gets traded a little earlier than I thought he would, and two warm bodies from AAA Gwinnett fill in very, very well. So, Kurt, for you, what was sort of the most newsworthy parts of these developments, or the least newsworthy?
I think the newsworthiest, if that's such a term, I would go with Lucas Harrell pitching really well. This is a guy that's been up in the major leagues, but has sort of kicked around, played in Korea, has done that sort of route, and has not pitched in the major since 2014. And really was, you know, I mean, probably the least expecting of that call than anybody. But he came up and he pitched really well in his start against the Marlins. I'm sure he'll get one more start, might get a couple more starts just to see how long he can be productive or until Williams Perez gets back or whatever the case might be. But it's nice. I mean, you root for these guys that are 30-something years old and have been around. And, I mean, you know, he's been around long enough that he pitched to AJ when they were both for the White Sox. So, yeah. But it's cool. I like stories like that, you know, good for him. And
outpitched Jose Fernandez,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
Won up the Fernandez game. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Hernandez, of course, beat us the game before with his bat. So I guess it was turnabout as fair play that we knocked him around the next day. And I would say the one that I'm not really worried about is Tehran's not so great start. It was bound to happen at some point. And if he strings together a few bad starts, then it seems like perhaps that the Julio Tehran that we, you know, think that is a tradable piece, or at least I don't, but some people do, that, you know, that the guy lacks the consistency and is never going to be a top-notch pitcher and all that kind of stuff, that plays into that narrative that he was really hot for a brief period of time and now he's going to be cold. So I will monitor that and see how that goes over his next couple of starts. But right now it's just, you know, he was due a bad start. So,
and I agree. I mean, really exciting and good for those two guys. And hopefully they'll hold down the rotation for a while as you know, Bonuelos sort of continues to figure things out, or I would think they're going to move Jenkins into the starting rotation sooner than later, particularly if one of those guys falters, if Williams Perez is slower in returning than they thought. But to me, the Bud Norris move was the big move of the week and was just fantastic because, you know, he was awful those first five starts. I mean, his slash line against those first five starts was 340, 398, 580. I mean, the guy was going to get DFA'd, you know, and then to turn it around like he did in the bullpen, and then in those starts that he made, I mean, it really was the plan, right, that looked like was blowing up in their faces. Not that it was a big loss or a big bunch of money, but all of a sudden, the plan that they had at the start of the season when they signed him, get some innings from this guy, then hopefully he's decent and get some pieces for him. I mean, it worked out. You got two pieces, both of whom we could see in the bullpen at some point this year. For Bud who cares Norris, who was never part of the long-term plan. And really interesting, I think it was Zach Klein from WSB just like went off on Bud Norris on Twitter after the announcements was made that, like, good riddance, what a terrible guy in the clubhouse, walked around like Clayton Kershaw, especially when he started pitching better. Who knew Bud Norris was a big jerk?
Right.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is sort of funny.
You know, and Folty's return, I mean, I know he gave up that homer, but otherwise he looked pretty good. And, you know, hopefully we get the Folty back that, you know, he was looking as good as he was in the at the start of the season.
Right. He had that abbreviated start, of course, because they had the rain delay and they didn't want to bring him back out. So it'll be interesting to see. You're right. He did recover from some early stumbles, and I guess it was just a big home run. And that was kind of a tough inning, you know. I mean, there was the error, and then he kind of got squeezed. There was a couple of pitches that looked like strikes that he didn't get the call on, and then he gives up the 3-run homer. But seems sort of buckled down after that, and then obviously didn't come back. So excited about his next start.
Yeah, and we get two faulty starts this coming week. All right, so Kurt, next up is Fair or Foul, but first we've got something from our new sponsor, Fan Essentials. So, folks, how would you like to get all your favorite Major League Baseball teams' merchandise, hopefully the Braves, but maybe you like some other folks, delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick out your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear, so you don't have to make those choices. Each fan box comes packed, full with amazing gear. It's a great gift idea for any sports fan, and prices start at just $34.99. So visit fanessentials.net, use promo code ABTSITD at the checkout, and you'll get 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. All right, so Curtis, fair or foul, where I throw something out there, we agree with it fair and disagree with it foul. So the Braves made the splash on the international prospects front, as we expected, signing the number 1 in Maytan, the number 18, the number 19, the number 22, and the number 24 prospects, along with 8 others. So, Kurt, fair or foul, on a scale of 1 to 10, your excitement level is at an 8 or higher.
Fair. And it's exciting that we actually see them draft. And, of course, after the draft, when we sort of bemoaned the fact that they were taking more pitching, but we did sort of hope that the international draft is where they were going to pick up some offensive prospects. And so they certainly have filled that part. Obviously, Maton is the – do we need to figure out how to say this game?
We do at some point. Yeah, somebody. It's only 16.
Right.
Why rush?
But, you know, them comparing him to Miguel Cabrera, them comparing him to Chipper Jones, obviously that's very high praise and company, and he's very young, and you never know what's going to happen. But just to have the excitement that even with his age, that everything I read was like, this guy's so far above everybody else in this international draft. He's such a clear, defined number one. And for him to sign with the Braves, and especially
Braves are down. Like that awesome stuff doesn't seem to happen very often to the Braves.
Right. And the Braves are down. And, you know, I mean, these deals are basically in place, and that they, and I mean, obviously the money, the Braves spent a ton of money doing this.
$4.5 million on him.
Yeah. Right? And spent, you know, like $4 million getting the catcher. Much later in the draft, which of course is another massive need that the Braves need, that they got the number one international catcher. He was a lot like Christian Bethencourt in his size and his athletic makeup. So hopefully he is able to put it together, unlike Bethencourt could. But yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting to see bats coming in. You know, they're all seem like they're shortstops, but, you know, of course, that's where all the best, most talented guys play at that age anyway. And they say he could, with his size, that he would easily transition over to a third baseman, which is exciting because then you're looking potentially at an infield that's Albies, Swanson, and Maton, which is, that's pretty juicy right there.
I agree. I mean, so those first 5 picks, they are all infielders plus that catcher that you mentioned who was the number 18 ranked prospect. You know, it'll be years. These guys are young, but all of a sudden there are bats in the system, and this is part of the big plan, right? If you have that faith in what the front office is doing, this is part of the big plan, and they seem to execute it as well as you could expect to land so many top 25 picks like that, including the number 1. I mean, I just think it's great.
Well, and again, not that it means anything in the long run until they all produce, but their farm system is just with all this now glut of international talent that's going to come in. I mean, if they're already number 1 or number 2 or number 3, I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, it's not going to be something to behold in the next few years as wave after wave of all these young players start to kind of integrate into the system. So it's pretty cool.
So, Kurt, earlier this week, Ozzie Albies was sent back down to AA to play alongside with Dansby Swanson. So, fair or foul, you like this move?
Yeah, I like it. You know, they wanted to get these guys to start. They had great chemistry when they played together in spring training. Freddie, he would not play one without the other when they played in spring training games. And apparently they've developed a really strong friendship. And like Albies is driving, or Swanson's driving to Albies to the park in Mississippi every day now, and they're really gotten tight. So you feel like it's something that they're really going to try and cultivate. And Swanson certainly was not ready to be moved up to AAA.
Ozzie wasn't killing it in AAA.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you move him down, you get them really, you move obviously Albies to second, just sort of accept that that's the eventuality of it, and then start that cultivation where they're working together as a double play combination and up the middle defensive combination for the next, you know, hopefully 15 years as part of the Braves organization. So it's pretty cool to think that they are going to just be working together that closely for this long a period of time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just terrific. You want them to get that confidence of continuing to hit in AA as well. And right, just let them keep working that combination so that they are in good shape when they come up. Which leads to part two in this question, Kurt. Fair foul, they get called up to the big club together.
I would not imagine how that would never take place, you know. I mean,
okay, there were like 18 negatives in there. So yes, yeah, they're totally coming up together.
From some of the fan feedback I get, that's about typical for what I do, is 18 negatives. I think that's going to be the obvious situation. We're going to have holes at both of those positions sooner, maybe, you know. I mean, I don't know that they're up. Obviously, they're not going to be ready for 2017, but 2018, I would say that you're probably looking at both of those guys up here playing for the Braves.
Oh, Kurt, I disagree with that. I think they're getting called up in September, and they are the starting middle infield next year.
Next year?
So? Oh, no, yes.
Way.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I smell a bet.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about that off the air. But, no, I think that short of, you know, one of them just completely falling in the tank offensively, that they will absolutely call them up together for the PR of it. Just for the 5,000 extra tickets that get sold that Tuesday night in Atlanta when they come up. Absolutely, 100%. I think they come up together. And yeah, Kurt, oh my God, I think they're starting. I think they're the starting middle infield next year.
Hmm.
All right, so Kurt, the Braves were behind a parking ordinance that was put in place this week for Cobb County that essentially disallows neighboring business parking lots within a half mile of the new stadium from charging for their parking spots on game day. So I don't really have a fair or foul here, Kurt, but this just stinks. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as we want to get excited about things like the international signings and stuff like that, there's so much of this other stuff. And we didn't even talk about it a couple of weeks ago, but there was a big third base prospect that they drafted, and they had an allotment of money that they were going to give to him and then realized that
they had more than they had left. Yeah.
So the kid ended up going to Auburn now to play baseball, which basically they'll lose his draft rights. And, you know, you hope that that does not come back to haunt them at some point, that they sort of butchered that. And then this is another thing. You were just talking about PR. This is really a bad PR thing because, you know, not only like down Turner Field, obviously there's not a lot of office buildings and things like that, but it's just lots. I mean, I parked in lots of private lots over the course of my Turner Field attendance, but there are like people that bought into office buildings under the auspices that they would generate some money and some revenue back by renting out their parking lots to Braves fans. And they're not going to be, plus that's really not going to be great for us as attendees, sort of limiting how much parking we have around the park.
Well, that's the thing, Kurt. I mean, it represents a little over 10,000 spaces, which are desperately needed. And frankly, when the announcement about the park came out last year, they talked about neighboring businesses opening up their lots for fans to park at. Now, this ordinance was requested by the Braves, passed without a vote, and these ordinances are typically passed to protect private residences. But that's not the case, like you said, around the stadium. There's like barely any private residence, you know, real estate around the park. It's all business real estate. So this will benefit the Braves and some other business partners in some way because they're going to get the parking. And these businesses are not, where the Braves are not going to get a cut of it. And, you know, it's going to line someone's pockets. And frankly, it's not going to be as good for the fans. Believe me, that's how this plays out.
Well, and they came out and they had a release, like the Braves had a release that they were like, oh, this is all about fan safety, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
blah.
Which is just junk.
Right.
Yeah.
Total spin.
All right, Kurt, time for Shot in the Dark, where we make our prediction, a crazy prediction for the coming week. And, you know, each week we ask listeners to submit their Shot in the Dark on Twitter so that we will pick one and discuss it on next week's show. But this coming week, if we pick your Shot in the Dark and make sure you use hashtag ABTSITD, you're going to win a giveaway from our new sponsor, Fan Essentials. So, folks, Monday, July 4th, first pitch is 4 p.m. Get those shots in the dark in before first pitch, and we'll pick one. All right, so let's check in on last week, starting with the pick submitted by Alex Gilmore, who predicted that Ender Inciarte and Eric Ibar would each hit their first homer this week. So far, not the case. Inciarte is not playing. We're recording this during the Fort Bragg game. It's 1-0 Miami in the top of the fifth, by the way. So, you know, maybe you'll be half right if Eric Ibar surprises us and hits one tonight. So let's see how the three of us did last week, Kurt. I predicted that Markakis would have three 3-hit games this week. He has none heading into tonight's game at Fort Bragg, so I'm out. Ham predicted that in three games, the starting pitchers would give up no earned runs. Not a single one of those this week, so Ham is out. Kurt, you still have a chance, as slim as it may be. You predicted that Freeman would hit 3 home runs this week. He's at 1 for the week, so he'll need 2 this week. He's 2 for 2 tonight, but no home runs. All right, so, Kurt, we'll check back in next week to see if you pulled out a victory. Otherwise, we'll start at 0 for the month of July. All right, so, Kurt, Hammy wrote in his prediction for the coming week, 2 home runs this week.
You mean mailed in?
Yes. Kurt, what about you? I'm sorry. 2 home runs this week for Tyler Flowers. Kurt, what about you this week?
Well, my son was lobbying me to make it about Jace Peterson this week, who is on a torrent. Yeah. Killing it. So I'm going to go big on Jace Peterson this week, even though the pitching is probably going to be tough. But 15 hits over the 7 games, including at least 1 homer and 6 RBI.
Yeah.
Big week from Chase. Jace.
That would be a big
week. Or Chase.
Or, yeah. I'm going to go Vizcaino gets 4 saves this week.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Considering he has not looked very good.
No, he's not. He's been a bit shaky.
And now we brought the kid up that's throwing 100 miles an hour. So.
Yeah, but I don't think they're – I mean, short of him needing a rest, they're not putting him in. Well, we'll see. All right, so folks, as I said, don't forget to get your Shot in the Dark in before first pitch on July 4th, Monday. It's the 4 p.m. game. If we pick yours, we'll not only discuss it on next week's show, but you'll also get a free gift from Fan Essentials. So make them good and interesting. Make us pick yours. All right, so Kurt, let's look at the week ahead, but first, a quick break. All right, so the upcoming week has 7 games, all on the road. 3 with the Phillies, a makeup game against the Cubs at Wrigley, and then 3 against the White Sox. And let's look at the pitching matchup. So, starting in Philly, it'll be De La Cruz versus Jared Eichhoff and his 3.38 ERA. Next up, Fulte's first start of the week versus Zach Eflin and his 5.75. Finishing up in Philly, Tehran faces off against Jeremy Hellickson and his 4.06. And it's on to Wrigley for that rainout makeup game where Harrell will face Hamill, a mouthful. Hamill has a 3.45. On to the White Sox, it'll be Whistler versus Chris Sale, unfortunately, and his 293. Next up, De La Cruz gets his second start of the week versus Jose Quintana and his 306. And then finishing up the week with Fulte's second start, he'll face big game James Shield, where the big stands for his ERA, Kurt, at 585. Although, you know, he's figured it out after that really awful run that followed the home run he gave up against Bartolo Colon. He's given up 3-1 earned runs his last two starts. So, Kurt, Hammy predicted a 2-5 week. How about you?
Sadly, I am mirroring that 2-5 week. 1-2, 0-1, 1-2.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4-3. One, because Vizcaino's going to save four games, of course. I think that they'll take two from the Phillies and two from the White Sox.
Interesting.
Yeah, we shall see. All right, folks, that is the show. Please, hope you've had a great or have a great 4th of July. Remember, we are at our new home at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.